and with you. Our subject today, the revelation of the cross set forth in the book of Jonah. Now, the cross of Christ is seen here in the book of Jonah. And today, for a few moments, we're going to try to share this great truth with you. So follow along in your Bibles if you're able to do so. And if you're not, you just listen carefully. And if you want these messages on cassette tape, you sit down and write me, and we'll work out the details. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. As I mentioned before, our lesson today has to do with the revelation of the cross as set forth in the book of Jonah. Now, the cross of Christ is the most important portion that is found in the Word of God. You see, it was at the cross that God did a work. It was at the cross Christ did a work. It was at the cross man did a work. And it was at the cross also that Satan did a work. God did a work there in that he satisfied his justice by sheathing his sword of justice in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ did a work in that he became our propitiation, satisfying the Lord God of heaven, so that we through him might be saved. He's not only our propitiation, but he is also our vicarious substitute, sovereign and surety, as well as being our Savior. At the cross also man did a work. He set forth his hatred of the Lord God of heaven when he nailed Christ to the cross. And then at the cross also the devil did a work, for it was there that the devil tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ as he hurled all his power and might against him and utterly failed. And yet we find that today the devil seeks to minimize the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, today I want to say this to you again, as I've said to you before. You cannot be saved without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord is not on the cross at this hour. He's in heaven. He's not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He is in heaven at this hour, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, waiting for the time when his enemies shall be made his footstool, and that time is not very far off. Now, as we study the cross of Christ, we have to look at several things for our learning. First of all, as we look at the purpose of the cross, we find that the demands of God's justice are arrayed against a sinner. Now, at this hour, if you're saved, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, the justice, wrath, and holiness of God is arrayed against you at this very hour. The demands of God's justice are arrayed against you right now. The reason? You have sinned like Jonah sinned, and the sinner offended divine justice. God gave Jonah a simple command. He was to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rebelled and refused to do so. We find in the sin of Jonah, we see really three sins set forth here. And it's not only true with Jonah, it is also true with every individual without Christ. Jonah was guilty of the sin of rebellion. For rebellion is his witchcraft, the Lord God of heaven says. And an individual today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is guilty of rebellion against the Lord God of heaven. My Lord has said to you at this hour, for he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. And therefore he says to every one of you at this hour, sinner, repent and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you refuse to do so, and you want to go your own way and have your own will, then we find that you are guilty of the sin of rebellion. Jonah was guilty of the sin of rebellion. God told him to go. Jonah refused to go. Secondly, Jonah was guilty of the sin of treason. Our Lord is the King of this universe. Every individual is a citizen of this universe, of this world. And we find that God being the King of this universe, an individual who sins against the Lord God of heaven is not only guilty of rebellion, but that individual is also guilty of the sin of treason. Jonah was guilty of the sin of treason here. He disobeyed the command of the Lord God of heaven. During wartime, if an individual disobeyed a command of the commanding officer to go out into battle, that individual would be classified as guilty of treason, and they could be sentenced to death, and one was during World War II. Yet we find also, man today is guilty of the sin of treason. God has warned you, and he's given overtures to you. He set forth his goodness and showered it upon you. And yet at this hour, the vast majority of mankind rebels against the Lord God of heaven. They won't listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. They want their own way. They are guilty, as Jonah was, of the sin of treason. Thirdly, Jonah was guilty of the sin of enmity. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, God told Jonah to do something he didn't like to do. He told Jonah to do something he didn't want to do. And we find today, man is also guilty of the sin of enmity. The reason? The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we find that carnal mind today is against the Lord God of heaven in every way. When the gospel goes home in might and power of the Holy Spirit to the human heart, it doesn't bring rebellion. No, sir. It stirs up the rebellion and the treason and the enmity that's already there in the heart of every individual. Has God ever shown you what a wicked sinner you are, my friend? Is he showing you at this hour that you personally are guilty of rebellion, you personally are guilty of treason, and that you personally are at enmity against God? Therefore, you must repent and bow down in the dust and ashes before the Lord God of heaven, or you shall utterly perish. And the justice of God is arrayed against the sinner, just as it was against Jonah. Now, when God's justice is arrayed against the sinner, God's justice does something also. We find very clearly it does really five things. First of all, it pursues the guilty. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3 we read, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now notice these words. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Here you see the justice of God pursuing the guilty. Sinner friend, you can't escape the justice of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we find in verse 6, the Word of God tells us something about God's justice as it pursues after the sinner. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 6, where we read, and if a Levite, or I should say in verse 6, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Now what do we have here? Here you have the justice of God pursuing after the guilty sinner. Is there a sinner listening to me at this hour? You're still not in Christ? Rest assured of one thing, my friend, the justice of God is on your trail. It's also going to get you unless you get saved. Secondly, we find the justice of God afflicts the wayward. Notice again, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Here we find the affliction of the wayward. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Word of God says. And when the justice of God pursues the guilty, rest assured of one thing, it afflicts the wayward. Now what did it do? It caused a great tempest in the sea, so that that ship was about to be sunk. We find that these experienced sailors became so deathly afraid, they all began to pray and cry unto their God. They lightened the cargo of that ship, threw it overboard so the ship would ride the waves a little better, but it didn't seem to do one bit of good. We find that the justice of God, it was after the sinner, it pursues the guilty, it afflicts the wayward, and then thirdly, notice, it detects the sleeper. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Not only did it awaken Jonah, but we find it detected him and singled him out because it exposed that which was hidden. In verses 7 through 10, they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah, whereby everybody on that ship knew that it was Jonah's fault that they were in such a category. And we find that they began to ask Jonah why, what happened, and the reason for it. And we find that Jonah was exposed. And when the justice of God goes after the individual, it pursues the guilty, afflicts the wayward, exposes the hidden, and then it demands that the guilty be punished. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. You see, the justice of God here demanded the guilty. And we find that all third thing about the justice of God is this, it is not satisfied until the demand is met. Now in Jonah's case, it meant that they had to throw him overboard. Jonah had to become a sacrifice on the behalf of those sailors. Jonah also had to be pitched overboard in order to make an atonement. There was no other way. And we find until Jonah was thrown overboard, there was no satisfying of the Lord God of heaven. The storm still kept on going, getting worse and worse, and the ship was like to be broken. It was like to be sunk until Jonah was thrown overboard. And when they threw Jonah overboard, we read these words. Listen to it. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. That meant there was an absolute calm the next moment. And we find, my friend, today that there is no sacrifice without the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, but I say to you very kindly and very emphatically, you cannot be saved apart from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the world's only sacrifice. Muhammad can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Bahá'í can't save you. Marietti can't save you. Judge Russell can't save you. No one can save you but the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one. and you have to come to know Him and trust Him as your sacrifice. The reason my Lord was singled out as Jonah was to make an atonement. Here you see the cross of Christ revealed in Jonah. Jonah was singled out and sentenced to die. Secondly, Jonah satisfied the justice and penalty that the offense called for. You see, the sea did not stop its raging until Jonah was thrown overboard. There was no other way. The only way that sea could be stopped, or calmed, I should say, was through the sacrifice of Jonah. Jonah had to satisfy the justice and the penalty that the offense called for. Thirdly, we find that Jonah's death was the sole means for salvation. Look again, if you will, at Jonah chapter 1, verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Last of all, we find Jonah's death was the sole means of their salvation. Notice, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. My friend, today, the only death that God will accept is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Has He died for you, my friend? Oh, you need to find that out. And my hope is that something has been said during this hour that will cause you to think and to realize there is no salvation apart from Christ. And my hope is the Lord will draw you onto a saving knowledge of Himself. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Many times in my childhood we traveled so far. By nightfall, how weary I'd grown. Mother's arm would slip around me, gently he'd say, My thank you. and I'm longing to see all my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer to the land of my dreams. Praise God, I'm going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing